Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynam. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Have you ever thought about being a content creator? Do you know what a content creator does? A content creator is someone who, well, creates and shares content like on the internet. There is a lot of content on the internet. Some of it is good, but a lot of it is not so good or helpful. If we are going to use things like social media and online videos, it's a good idea to be creators rather than just consumers using the content. That means that we create and put good content out onto the internet, content that reflects God's beauty and truth. And when we do watch videos or use other content, we should make sure that it's good things that are pleasing to God and healthy for us. Today, we are meeting two content creators who create videos that share God's designs in nature and science. Alan and Jeffrey create and host the Science Dilemma series, where they challenge us to think deeply on the big questions of science and bring us in on conversations with real scientists, helping us to better see and understand the smartness and designs in nature. Let's meet Alan and Jeffrey. Welcome, Alan and Jeffrey. Thank you so much for joining us today on Nat Theo.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're excited.
I am excited too. My kids and I, we recently finished watching your excellent science series, The Science Dilemma. So you guys are content creators, filmmakers, and you're using your creativity to share the incredible designs that we find in science and nature. And I'm so excited to hear more about the behind the scenes process of your work today and to share it with our listeners. Can you just start by answering, what is The Science Dilemma?
Yeah, The Science Dilemma. So as a whole, it's a project where we want people to see the dilemmas within science. And at the end of the day, of course, give God the credit, right? But the specific series, The Science Dilemma, Origin of Life, is the dilemma that science has when it comes to answering the question, where did everything come from? Was it created? Is it from natural unguided processes? Or, is there a designer? And then who is that designer? So yeah.
Yeah, those are important questions. And I love how you pose them during the series and answer them in really compelling and interesting ways that are also very convincing.
Yes.
I know I learned a lot while watching. I know my kids learned a lot while watching. So can you both just share, what is your favorite part about working as a content creator, a filmmaker, to share God's creation?
Yeah, so my favorite part of being a content creator, specifically in this Christian intelligent design space, is that we get to be creative. We get to use the gifts that God has given us to create fun and engaging content to shape the next generation. And that's constantly changing depending on trends, depending on new mediums, new platforms. And so it's never the same for us. We're always creating and doing something different to shake things up. And so I guess we can never get in a rut, because it's always, our weeks look different. We're filming something different. And so that's my favorite part, is just how the novelty of just always trying to reinvent how to reach the next generation.
Yeah, something that I've always been passionate about is how to contextualize the gospel, right? So we always talk about how to contextualize it for different communities, different nationalities, different countries, but really sometimes we forget how to contextualize it for different generations. And so when you talk about communicating to a generation that's going to be engaged natively with We want them to be out in nature, but reality is also they're going to be integrated into a world that's full of technology. And so we need to meet them where they're at and just teach them how to engage content in a godly way. And so that's why we made the Science Dilemma four episode series. And we made it something that families could engage with together and not have to say like, oh, here, go do it, play, you know, press play and just mindlessly watch. But really, parents and even younger siblings are all able to have a good family time around it. And so I think that my favorite part of just our role in this space is contextualizing the gospel and things aligned with the gospel for the next generation.
That's so good. And you guys definitely achieved that, because I know I had such rich conversations with my kids as we were watching. And we would pause and we would discuss and talk about what you guys were saying, what the scientists were saying, the different, you know, visuals and fun activities that you did throughout. And I remember a couple of weeks after watching, my oldest son, who's 13, we were talking about different ways to reach people with the gospel and tell people about Jesus. And he brought up right away, he's like, well, now I can share how we can see evidence for God in the fossil record. And he had gotten that directly from watching The Science Dilemma. That's so awesome. You definitely achieved that. Like, these are such good conversations that the series starts. So thank you for giving us that resource. I think it's a phenomenal resource, especially for middle school, high school, but even my younger kids were really trailing and understanding what you were saying. Over the past 4 years, I have deep dove into these books and conversations about, you know, evidence for a creator, intelligent design. And what you did was you took these concepts that took me a few years to dive into and study, and you boiled them down into language that our kids can understand. So I definitely appreciated that.
Thank you.
Well, Alan, my kids' favorite part of every episode is when you are out in the city, out on the streets, and you are asking strangers questions. Questions about God, questions about science. Were you scared to approach these people and ask such big questions, or what was that like?
Jeff could even answer that, but 100% yes. Like, I am, I'm an extrovert. I love people. I can talk to a wall, but I do always have this unusual fear that still strikes me when it's engaging a stranger, because I don't know. I think it's not being sure of what is on the other side of that initial interaction. And so, yes, 100%. I mean, there were so many times I had to lean on Jeff to be like, hey, can you ask them for me? And then I'll go and talk to them. Or we had friends come with us. So, yeah, I definitely have that. Like, I still have that fleshly side of me that gets scared before having those conversations.
Yeah, I'm someone who really can't get embarrassed. Like, if you knew me and knew, like, my kids, I was youth pastor for many years. And so getting up on stage, making a fool of myself. So I was kind of the one like, hey, you guys want to be on a YouTube video? You know, I'd be like, really? And then once they'd come over, because what kid or person doesn't want to say yes to that? Like, it always piques their interest, you know, like, oh, can I go viral? Yeah. So once they got over, then Alan would start the dialogue. But there were many times where, maybe one or two times, where we'd get all ready to go out. We'd have our questions planned out. We would, you know, get all excited. And one time we pull into the parking lot. We were showing up at a market, like a downtown market. And we pull up and we literally see all the people. And we both kind of looked at each other and was like,
let's go get lunch.
Let's go get lunch. And we just didn't.
It just, we kind of read the room a little bit, and we're just like, I don't know if today's the day. Like, something's just not like right. And we knew, like, with certain, when you're trying to create like a video content series, you're trying to make sure that you ask the questions, ask the right people, right? Like, kids love to hear everybody's answers, but they also want to see, like, college kids versus see somebody in their 60s. You still show that, right? Because you want to show diversification of conversation, but at the same time, you want to be able to show them, like, themselves a little bit, or close to themselves.
So but all that to say, there's a lot of mixed emotions with the man on the street stuff.
And having to push past that. But that's part of how I was having a buddy, right? Like scripture talks about, go out in twos, you know, because you can push each other to, you know, he would find the people, get them in, draw them in, and then I'd handle the conversation.
Oh, yeah, that's such a good point, too. I remember I guess I could call it street evangelism, but I did a lot of overseas missions trips when I was in high school. And we would be going into these different cultures, hill tribes in Southeast Asia and Africa. And it'd be so scary.
Yeah.
So scary. Yeah. Because you're in a different culture, for one thing. And even here in America, we have so many different cultures and people. And you're right. You never know what's on the other side of that conversation. And so it definitely helps to have someone with you for that support, for that encouragement, to remember that you're in this together and for a good reason. So I think that's such a good point. While you were out talking to strangers, asking them these big questions about what they believe, what surprised you the most about the way they responded?
I would say what surprised me the most was how many people don't think about this. Like, so many people answering, and yeah, they'd give, like, we couldn't fit it right every single conversation all into the episodes. But when you'd really start to ask them deeper questions and peel back the layers, you'd find out that people just don't want to put too much thought into this because it's scary. Mm. It's big. If I do find the answer, what does that mean about my life? You know? And so I think that that's really what impacted me a lot, is we need to teach people that this is important to think about because this lays the groundwork of your life. And that a lot of people don't think it's important to think about, or they're scared to. So yeah, I think that that'd be my answer to that.
Yeah, I was surprised at that. But also the how much worldview affects what you think of the science. So many times, like if you look in our comment section online or even some of the responses in the mail on the street, how it really doesn't boil down to the science that's convincing some of these people. If it doesn't line up with their worldview, if you know they believe in a God or not, it shapes and colors all of that. Yeah. So it wasn't so much people want to hear and see the science as they don't want something that conflicts with their worldview. So that was kind of shocking. And scary to see, but also, like Alan said, just some people is not even on their radar to even consider origin of life, which is crazy. It's the most important question that you could ask.
Yeah, you're right. It affects so much. And my kids and I both pulled both of those things out from the conversations you shared, especially my kids picked up on. I asked them after we watched, I said, well, what did you notice about the conversations he had with people out on the streets? And I think it was two of my sons said that people didn't know what they believed. Mm. They hadn't thought through these things. And I know, like, Alan, you made such a good point that it can be scary to think through these things. And I know that's where I was at several years ago, where I knew I loved the Lord and I really enjoyed nature and I was learning all about nature, but I was scared to dive deep into the science at the really like molecular level of DNA, because I was scared that I might be convinced against what I had been raised in and what I believed. And it was the exact opposite, that science strengthened my faith in incredible ways, because just like all the scientists that you guys interviewed, when you get down to that molecular level, that tiny itty bitty microscopic level, and you see all the evidence for God.
Yeah.
And so I love that you are challenging people on the street to actually think through those questions.
Mm-hmm. One other thing is that even the Christians who like, yeah, I believe that there was a creator. If you ask them why, that was another answer that we didn't get great answers. Yeah. Like, why do you believe there's a God? Oh, yeah. Well, my family always, that's what I taught. But these tools and these facts, like these understandings of science and creation, they just strengthen your faith and deepen your faith, because our feelings and our emotions can change every day depending on our circumstances. But being able to go back to the truths that we see in creation, like I have to do something with where did all this come from, you know? And if I have a good, solid tool to hang on, like a machines in the cell or code in the DNA, or the fossil record, or that the universe is expanding, so it had to have a beginning point, like all of these things in times of trial, tribulation, in times of questioning your faith, these truths can bring you back to faith. Mm-hmm. And so knowing why you believe what you believe is super important, and hopefully we challenge people in the series to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. I think that's so well said, and I've definitely experienced that myself. Well, throughout the series, you guys repeat this saying that I found so compelling. You kept saying that the science is not settled. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, it's definitely, it was intentional, of course. And it's just because the fact that when you talk to people that go to university, right, the common theme in academia is it's settled. Like, neo-Darwinian theory wins. That's what we should accept as the science. Yeah. Versus, and then when they talk about intelligent design, they're like, well, you should critically think about this. And so just saying like, hey, let's just have a level playing field. It's not settled. We have a lot of holes to poke. We have a lot of answers that are going unanswered. And so we want people to know like, hey, there's room to still have some conversation here, and there's room for tension, and we definitely should still be having this conversation. And we saw a lot of that when we went and interviewed at the school, at the university, that they were just willing to have that conversation, and it was awesome. Yeah, but that's what it really means. It's just, it's not done. We still have so much to learn.
If you look over history, how many times did science think they had something right? But a new discovery or experiment busted on the scene and disproved everything. There's countless examples, like the Earth being the center of the universe, or like tons of things. Yeah. And so we're saying that, hey, we could be in a very similar revolution of thinking when it comes to origin of life, that the science now, because of our technology, how deep we can drill into these cells and into these machines, like, we can now see something that Darwin couldn't see. So how would that affected his theory then? Yeah. And so we're showing that there are huge holes, huge issues in the Darwinian theory, which is being pushed as the main theory for the origin of the universe. And we're saying, no, that's not settled. That's old science. Mm-hmm. That's incorrect science. And we are going to take these world-renowned scientists that are on the cutting edge of discovery, and we're going to try to take them down and bring them to a level that the next generation can understand and understand, oh, this is the new science that I'm trusting. So, yeah.
I love it. And you guys do it so well. And you brought up the example of the cells, and even the fact that when cells were discovered, scientists thought that they were these simple blobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now we understand that they are these incredible molecular machines, like beyond even what we can imagine. We just did a series on Nat Geo about the human body, and we went into the structure of the cell, and just to understand how detailed it all is.
Yeah.
So you're exactly right. Science is young. Like, science as an entire study is young. Mm-hmm. And even to think that the ocean, only about 5% of the ocean has been explored. We have so much more to discover in nature and in science. And the more we see, the more we see how it's pointing toward a creator, how we see intelligence and design. And you guys have done so well to just bring that to a level that kids and families can really understand.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at all just the ways that things have been designed and created, I mean, even on your Instagram, where you shared about the octopus that one time, and that just baffled me. You know, there's so much, there's so much to learn and know, and something that, you know, we're not experts at all on this, right? We're learning and talking to the experts. And Dr. James Tour himself always talks about how, like, hey, I am a chemist. I'm not a biologist. I'm not a physicist. Like, there's specialties with some of the smartest minds in the world, and they're just like, I can't cover all the science by myself. So, like, for people to think that they have a monopoly on what science says is bizarre, and it's just not, it's not itself a scientific, like, ethic to hold, to think that you have a monopoly on it.
Yeah, well put. Well put. So can you both share, as you were having these conversations, yes, on the street with strangers and also with these renowned scientists, can you share maybe something that you heard or a conversation you had that strengthened your faith while making this series? Mm-hmm.
I would start it with Dr. Tom Woodward, really. And when he was presenting us to speaking about Dr. Berkeley Grider, who is the young scientist that is at Case Western University, and he's an expert in epigenetics, and, you know, he's fighting against cancer with his laboratory, and just hearing about, this is like behind the scenes, I guess, but just hearing about the fact that so many people respect him as a scientist first. And so therefore, when he does discuss his faith, he doesn't get a ton of pushback from other scientists and from other brilliant scientists who don't agree with him. They don't hold the same worldview. They don't necessarily even agree on an intelligent designer, but he is such a brilliant practitioner of the studies of science that they just hold him to high regard. And so that just spoke volumes to me, because maybe, you know, maybe this speaks to your audience, is like, as we teach our youth that, yes, you need to worship Jesus, like we believe that God is a good God and we should worship him, he is also a God that calls us to excellence, that calls us to worship him with our work, and that as people watch how we live and watch what we do, that excellence then gives us credibility, it gives us a voice. And that's something that I know that he has, not only amongst his peers, but amongst like his elders within the practice of science. And so I think that that conversation, not only with him, but people speaking about him, I think spoke volumes.
That's good. Thank you for sharing.
My favorite point was probably with Dr. Michael Behe, with the irreducible complexity and the whole idea of, you know, if you had a truck and you took away, you know, the battery, well, the whole truck doesn't work now. And so these machines in our cells could not have evolved from one part machine to a 15 part machine. Like all of them had to be there at one time for that thing to have function and purpose and to work. And so to me, that blew my mind. I was like, okay, so all that had to bust on the scene, bang onto the scene at the very first cell, very first instance, which obviously points to intelligent design. So that fact there kind of blew my hair back a little bit.
I so enjoyed that conversation. I'm very intrigued with the concept of irreducible complexity. So for our listeners, that's like a really big term, I know. And like you explained, and you guys did so well on the series, this concept of like a machine, if you remove one part, the whole thing doesn't work. And I often teach that with animals that hibernate. So when an animal truly hibernates, different processes happen in its body where its heart rate slows dramatically, its body temperature lowers dramatically, its respiration and its metabolism slow dramatically. And all of these different systems come into play with that. And so exactly like you said, that could not have built itself over time. It had to have all been created at the same time in order for these animals to be able to hibernate and survive. But I loved the truck. You had this whole like animated part of that episode showing us how the truck works and why it couldn't work without any of its pieces. I thought that was just so good.
Sweet.
Could each of you share a word of advice for our listeners who want to use their creativity and possibly even create content to share God's creation with others?
I would say find something that you're passionate about that will come through if you're creating content and you love the content, you love the subject, and it's not work for you to do the research and to study it. Like that will come through in your content. And so I would just say, be honest, find something you love, whether that's if you're a big bird person, then you get a video camera and some binoculars and you video some birds and talk about it. So just using the gifts and the passions and the wirings that God has given you and try to make your content align with those. And it's going to be super fun and a great adventure.
I would say attack fear. Like, If you're scared of being on the camera, and maybe you're scared of it because it's not your thing, or maybe you're scared of it, but you have a desire, right? And take that desire to the Lord and see what he wants to do with it. And if it's just you need to practice, you know, maybe it's something where you need to put that piece of content out and see that, the world's brutal, the comment section is harsh, but you're still here, like you're still walking, and you learn how to deal with those conversations. You learn how to engage with people that are attacking you. You know, it's not something that is avoidable in the human experience. You're just diving into it instead of getting hit with it, you know? So I would say that, like, don't let the devil use fear to keep you from being on mission in the way that maybe you feel God's calling you. So if he's calling you to make some content, just always take it to Him. Make sure that it glorifies Him. Make sure that your heart is in the right place, but also work on that craft and attack fear.
Amen. Those are both great words. Thank you. Thank you. There's a question I like to end all of my guest conversations with. Would each of you be able to share a favorite memory from your childhood or growing up in nature?
You want to first?
Sure. Okay. I grew up in Georgia, and we lived in the suburbs of Atlanta, but there was a creek that went through our neighborhood. And I remember my dad taking us, I was probably 6 or 7 years old, and we would all wear big boots and we would just wade through the creeks. Look, we'd see crawfish, we'd see snakes, we'd see fish, minnows, frogs, turtles. We tried to catch everything we saw, and we had so many pets that we brought back home, and who knows what happened to them. But we just loved being out and just seeing what could we find out. When we lift up a rock, what are we going to find? Is it going to be scary? Is it going to be furry and cute? Mm. Like just that unknown and just walking through creeks. I used to love doing that with my dad.
I love it.
So I grew up in Miami. So Florida boy, but especially Miami, the city life. So I wasn't always in nature other than like the beach or backyard, but my family is from Brazil. And so we went and visited family and family friends. And while we were out there, my uncle took us to visit some of his friends in the Amazon. And
oh, wow.
There's nothing like it. So we went on this boat, and the boat is, there's no walls. It's all pillars, and everybody's sleeping on hammocks. So you're sleeping next to 200 strangers. I'm 13 at the time. And I'm getting to like see bats fly in the middle of the night, see the water change, right? Because there's three different colors of water in the Amazon. Mm-hmm. And then hearing the Amazon like rainforest at night, just the movement. It's almost like city life, just all animals, right? Mm. And then swimming and not knowing like, is there a massive snake in here? And seeing piranhas, like getting to fish and catch piranhas right where we were swimming, swimming with the pink belly dolphins. Like all that experience was almost surreal to me because it reminded me of like Eliza Thornberry.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I have not thought about that in years.
But that's what it reminded me of just this feeling of like, this is like God made us to be able to even thrive in this environment, you know? And I look back at that all the time, and I enjoy, like, I wish to, like, go out there and just stay out there longer with my family sometime.
The wild thornberries. We need to bring that back.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
That's a throwback.
That is a throwback. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, both of you. Alan and Jeffrey, thank you for joining us today. I will be sure to share the Science Dilemma with our listeners in the show notes. Thank you for this excellent work. You talked about just the value of working excellently for the Lord, and you both have done that. So thank you, and thank you for joining us today.
And thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Listeners, I hope you enjoyed learning about Alan and Jeffrey's work, and that you were inspired by how they share God's designs with others. And I hope you will check out their Science Dilemma series at the link in our show notes. It's especially great for middle school and high school students. Although even my 7 and 10-year-olds listened to and got a lot from this series. Each episode is less than 20 minutes, includes a man on the street interview with real people. It dives into real science and has conversations with scientists that I highly respect and have read some of their books. It also has fun visuals and diagrams to understand God's amazing designs in nature and science, really taking these big questions and big ideas and helping us to understand them. Make sure to click over in our show notes to check out The Science Dilemma. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you did, please take a moment to share it with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all alone.